Luke 8:11 is Luke's take on the parable of the sower. And it says, now the parable is this, where he brings the explanation of it. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those that hear, then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. They on a rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. They have no root, which for a while believe, and in a time of temptation fall away. That which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I want to first begin by stating that fruit is the byproduct of the word of God sown into our heart. It's not our human effort. But it's the word of God. God's seed is always capable of producing that which it is. The power of God is released in the word being heard, received, and acted upon. The power of God, rather the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16, is the power of God unto salvation. We can never lose sight of those things. That our source of life begins with the word of God being sown to our heart. That's where our source of life is. People easily get deceived looking to other things. But your life's in the Word of God. If we understand that, then we make it a priority of our life to give place to the Word of God and to guard it and protect our heart. The soil, it mentions four types of soil here. That is all a reference to our heart. The word sown to the heart. And the condition of the soil will determine the fruit that's produced. God created us to be fruitful, that the fruitfulness of God in our life brings glory to Him. That's why you're on the earth. So he goes on here speaking of those by the wayside or, you know, off of they're not in the farm soil. It's along a road where it's hard. If seed's put there, the devil comes and just take it away. In other words, their heart doesn't receive. It's like throwing seed on this tile floor. It's not going to grow. It needs soil. And it needs moisture. And there are those who hear the word, but because their hearts are hard, nothing comes out of it. And Satan can just lie and say, oh, that's not true. That's a bunch of bull. Or, you know, they're crazy or anything like that. And it's plucked out of their heart where it never always enters the heart. It's plucked up right away like a bird who would just pluck up seed. Now, if you've ever planted grass the lazy way, you're just like throwing the grass seed out. Well, birds have a great harvest, a great feast. Because they just come along and pick that seed right up. But it has to be under the soil, at least a little bit. And there it can then be watered and germinate and begin to grow. So with some, Satan just comes and steals that word. Then he speaks of those who are sown on rocky ground, or there's some soil on the top, but underneath it's rocks. And it cannot root very deeply. So without a deep root and without taking in the moisture or the water and getting the nutrition from the soil, when the sun comes up, and it's great heat, it's going to kill that plant. And both Matthew and Mark's gospel goes into a little more detail. I'm reading from Luke's because it's just a more of a simple statement or summary of it, which is more what I want to bring here. Just a simple summary of these things. The not having root or there's no depth of soil, I believe, really has to do with conviction. And the truth is, people who receive the word without conviction power generally are not going to really serve the Lord much, love the Lord much. Or they might get excited at first because it says they receive it with joy, but there's no root. So as soon as there's some heat applied to their life or some pressure, then they are offended, as it says in Matthew and Mark's gospel, that they get offended. Now here it says, those that have no root, which for a while believe in the time of temptation fall away. Or the word temptation there also speaks to, or it's translated, trial or a testing, a trial. Matthew and Mark's gospel mention specifically persecution and affliction, which is pressure from without, an external pressure being brought to bear on people. And that's one of Satan's tactics. Those who are not rooted in a deep conviction will say, hey, I thought everything was going to be just awesome and good all the time, and there'd be no suffering or no affliction or nothing to go through. And if someone thinks that way, they will get offended. They will discontinue following the Lord when a test is on. So there are many parts in the world that persecution is a major tool of Satan. It's not really much at all here. It's not something we're really used to. But much of the people of God in the world do deal with persecution. Yes. And in both India and Sri Lanka, hearing more of that, it's increasing. And I know in China, I hear it's increasing. In other parts of the world, it's increasing. Now, there's a couple ways that can come. Usually when you hear that, you think of someone getting beat on, which is part of it. But also, the devil will use laws and the legal means to try to pressure and steal from people and bring fear upon them as well. Actually, Satan is an accuser of the brethren, says that in Revelation 12, verse, I think, 11. And we see in the life of Christ that they would use laws to try to entrap Jesus or to try to bring pressure, even on the apostles later on. So Satan will use laws. And in India, one of the things that's been happening a lot is there's laws being made to make everything difficult and basically steal money from people. And there's a lot of things been done. The thing I marvel at is the president, who's a very evil man and stole a lot of the people's money. I mean, it was just a year or two ago, they said, okay, the 500,000 rupee notes, because it's a cash society, they all have to be turned in 1 week or you'll get nothing. So they do it, and then they're told, oh, you get 60 cents on the dollar. So they stole 40% of all the people's money. Bingo, 1 week. And then they only let them take out like $150 a month out of their own account. And they had to go to a bank to exchange this money. Well, for village people, there's not a bank down the street because there's no electricity and there's no running water. So they'd have to ride a bus for quite a while to get to a bigger village where there would be a bank and go through all of this stuff. And when we were there, I don't know if this was last year or 2 years ago, there was actually rioting going on from the common people. And we were coming back to Chennai. Pamela had called Israel and said, you know, be careful. There's a lot of rioting. I mean, people are going berserk because they just had 40% of their money stolen from them. And they couldn't even access much of the rest that they had. People think that can't happen here. Don't kid yourself. Those things can happen here. And had we not had the president we have now, we didn't elect a pope. I don't care if you don't like him. I'm just going to tell you something. That man stood up for righteousness, chosen of the Lord. Well, anyway, by the way, they love him over there because India and Pakistan was on the verge of a war. And I didn't notice, I didn't hear this in our media, but our president called the president of Pakistan. He said, stand down. Back off. Do not start a war. And he did. It's like when I went to Nigeria the last time. They loved our president there. Because he called in, met with the president of Nigeria and said, listen, you stop persecuting children, the Christians. Stop persecuting the children. Stop allowing it. And he backed off. So don't believe the garbage you hear in the media. Because I can't remember any presidents before doing either one of those things. Be honest with you. Too afraid. Bound up in fear. So anyway, the persecution is increasing. And The way that would most likely come here, Satan's avenue of approach, is through terrorist acts, which we've had an increase of that. That's a persecution. And you see, the aim is to put fear in you. I want to ask you a question. If there were more and more churches being hit, would you still come on Sunday? Or would you sit at home in fear and say, I'll just watch television? So that's for you to answer. I'm not asking for an answer to me. But see, we need to realize these things. What will it take to make me back down? There needs to be a conviction and a determination and a strength in our inner man that we're not going to back down for anything. We cannot forsake the Lord Jesus Christ for anything. We would rather die than to forsake the Lord Jesus Christ or allow ourselves to be put into a little bird cage. Just flap our wings in there. Well, I put in a bulletin mentioning different, you know, what we did. And after in Sri Lanka, one of the meetings, it was with like leaders and pastors. And there was a pastor. He had lunch with us where we were staying. And his name was Peter. And Peter was 69 years old. He was a village pastor. He was, you know, his time starting churches and like village there can mean there's no electricity, no running water. We went to a couple of them where there's new church plants. And a lot of times you're driving off-road for a while. After you're maybe 2 hours on paved road, then you're off-road, going back in through to you get to wherever they're at. It's kind of fun, I mean, in a way. I don't know if I'd say that if I had to live in those conditions. But it's different if you're just visiting and you're living somewhere. But anyway, I was talking to this man, Peter, and if I'm a guest somewhere, I like to pick out the older person and say, hey, tell me your testimony while I'm eating dinner. So he had fun telling us stuff. But anyway, with this man, Peter, at one point he'd been talking about persecution. You know that Buddhists, they're probably worse than the Muslims. There's this idea. It's really from Satan. They're just real peaceful little guys, little fat guys sitting there with their legs crossed, going, No, they got demon possessed. They're demon possessed. Just like anything of Satan, the farther you go into it, the more you get into the demonic part of it, the demonic side of it. You'll make it look good at first. Well, anyway, this Peter's telling me how he one time was beaten, thrown in the street, and his house burned down. And he had undergone a lot of things like that. And he's telling how, oh, you know, he was excited because God would use those things for more evangelism. Because they'd watch him raise back up, not back away, not run away, not quit, but keep preaching. And see, these Buddhist people, what all they got going on in their head, their doctrine, they have a hard time shaking this. Why is this man still doing this? He really does love his God. And breakthroughs happen. So anyway, my heart was so touched by this man. I mean, my heart was really... I just empathize, you know. And he had just lost his wife, so he was sort of like, didn't know where he fit, sort of in a way. So he's just still doing what the Lord told him to do. And I asked Pradeep, I said, how many more are out there like this? So there's a lot of guys like that. And I'm saying that for a reason, for what I'm going to get into next, but there's a lot of guys out there like that. And that just grabs my heart. Because there's so many, so much of what they do is all about themselves. And there's some, nobody knows who they are. There's no recognition. You go in those villages, there's no money there. It's only a few that'll go. And I am convinced in my heart that the age we're living in, the time we're stepping into is this last of the last days where the gospel is going to go to every nation, tongue, tribe, every people group, is going into the villages. It's not big, building mega churches in cities. It's going into the villages, those that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ who are suffering. And that only happens if someone will answer the call and have the courage and guts and self-denial to go. It's not an easy life in those places. And I believe that's where the Spirit of God really is going to be in these last days. It's not in some of these other things. God's not interested in putting on shows. He's not interested in entertaining people. He wants to see people saved, delivered out of darkness, brought into light, out of sin into righteousness, out of a self-life into the love of God. That's really what he's after. There are times a word will go into your spirit. I'll talk about that sometimes. And when I was over there, it was more of a preaching anointing, and that was happening. Just saying certain things, inspire the Holy Spirit. I told him, this is what's going to happen. And I heard later, that's what happened. But there's times in my life where certain things, someone might say, it might be in a vision, it might be just reading the word, it'll just illuminate and explode on the inside of me. Absolutely. And you see, the power of God's in a word like that. But if our hearts are kind of hard, we're all wrapped up in ourselves, we don't hear it. It could have been there and you don't even hear it. So anyway, that same anointing that, just to preach. I'm not preaching at you, I'm speaking to you. To preach is to declare a word. This is, you know. And you have to understand how to hear that. Allow it to go into your spirit. Well, God, I guess Peter, I just went into my heart. Because I already knew that's what the Father's going after in these last days. It's not mega stuff. It's not monuments to the glory of men. It's going after them. And in India, you know, talking about that, Israel said that fear is coming on the people and even on the pastors. That virus thing, there's great fear there. And that's what he was telling me. People without God can't deal with something like that, an unseen power that could destroy them. They don't know what to do. And I remind you, it was, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago or whatever, the Lord revealed to me a word in a time of prayer that there would be waves of fear relative to like diseases that were not known, relative to terrorism, relative to financial crisis, pressure. Now, right here, right now, we're really blessed financially. Again, if you can't add 1 + 1 = 2, the leadership of our president had a lot to do with that, then your light bulb's not bright enough and you change it and get a brighter Holy Ghost light bulb. It's pretty easy to see, I think, but some people don't, you know. They don't realize. Certain things could set off a whole chain reaction. But the economy in a place like India, Sri Lanka, Ukraine, I'll throw in there, they're collapsing. There is great distress and hardship financially on these places. So we need to be thanking God we're blessed. And whatever degree you can be a blessing reaching out, whether it's U.S. or in missions or what have you, we should have a heart to do that. Well, the coronavirus, I mean, they're all like really wound up over there about that. Ralph Cooney wasn't even allowed to go minister to any children, orphans, or anything like that because the authorities had set a law. No foreigners are allowed to be around kids. And if we would have just went and done that and someone reported that, they could have gotten a lot of trouble. But it's just fear. And this persecution that's coming is bringing fear even on the pastors to go out. To go out because the potential of what can come down upon them. So Satan will try to use persecution to bring fear on people. And you have things like terrorism, economic collapse, all of that bring fear on people. As people get in fear, one thing relative to the financial systems, when people get in fear, what they do is close their hands. They don't spend, they don't give as much. Because they're afraid, well, I might not have any tomorrow. But when there's a confidence there and they open their hand and begin to spend and give, then it just perpetuates itself. That's just principle of economics. So, my heart's greatly touched. There are still people going in these villages. I praise God for them. That's the kind of people I want to help. Not the person building a monument to themselves, a Tower of Babel, a tower to them, their own glory, trying to build some big thing. You might say, what are you referring to as you say that? Well, one of the things happening there in both places, in Sri Lanka and India, Israel, I'm pretty very distressed about. There's people coming in, self-proclaimed prophets, and they're leading the people to pursue money. And they'll say things like, God's going to put money in your bank account and stuff like that, in your wallet. And have people come up and testify, oh, yeah, at the meeting here, I got a 100 rupee bill in my wallet. I saw videos of it. It's not just second hand. And people are getting all ginned up to pursue money. Like God's just going to dump it on them. And they're really leaving their foundations. It's like a big uproar amongst the churches over there. Because some whole churches are getting sucked into this stuff. And, you know, people prophesying and the opposite happening. Because they were telling, like, there's a pastor that was dying and cancer or something or other. And this prophet or whatever, self-anointed prophet, saying, oh, he's going to live to see his grandson's funeral or wedding. He's not going to die. He dies a short time later. And Pam's telling me, like, you know, there people are, like, disillusioned and bitter towards God because there's other things like that. And the thing is, if our heart's not focused on Jesus Christ and loving him, you can end up bitter one way or the other. The persecution and affliction, it says in the other two Gospels accounts, people getting offended when that comes because of the word. Satan wants to steal the word because the word of God's what's going to produce fruit, not human effort. And he's going to come after it. So if someone's heart's not pure before the Lord, it's almost a destiny to get bitter and offended. If you go to a senior home place, a lot of times I'll say this at times, there's two kinds of people there. Those who serve the Lord and have the joy of the Lord, and there's people in their life that love them and come and see them because they sown their life into people, and there's the rest are all bitter. No one comes to see them. No one's interested in them because they live their life just for their own pleasure. No one wants to listen to them. And there's a bitterness. And people get bitter over, why am I in this place in my life? Well, it could have been the result of choices being made going through life. I mean, each situation's different. But those are common things. And a lot of people get bitter and stop following God that once followed him. It's important that there is a foundation there where there is the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And conviction is not just sin, but a conviction of what I believe. You guys going to go leave too? Where will we go? You have the words of eternal life, Jesus. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's only if we have that we'll stand no matter what. And you don't have to fear the future. You don't have to let the what ifs march. Quote something Janet would say. You don't have to let the what ifs march. You don't have to fear the future because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you still proclaim him the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what happens, he's all you need. He is your life. So here you have the enemy. And this is a newer thing happening in that part of the world. Because, you see, places where there's a lot of poverty. I remember when I went to Haiti in 1984, this missionary said, don't talk about the United States and things of how it's good or whatever back there. They don't know how poor they are. They don't know what can be and what we have. And they're perfectly fine. They are happy because in their mind, they're not poor. They're looking to God to bless them with that bowl of rice every day. We see now with cell phones that you bought and paid for, handed out to the poor all over the world. I just, in case you don't know that, I'll just say it again. There's a fee on your phone bill where we paid for to bail out the phone companies that have stuff they can't sell because everything's outdated in, what, 6 months or a year, something like that. I always used to be about half afraid to buy something like that because, well, man, it's going to be out obsolete before I even learn how to use it. But there's cell phones everywhere now. I mean, I don't understand. Even these village areas, there's no electricity. They have cell phones. I don't know what they do. They take hop a bus for 2 hours to charge their phone up and are able to access and they see what's going on in places like the United States. And it stirs envy in people and they begin to covet after that. And then if they're watching things with the whole entertainment world and industry, it's, you know, all this fame and glory, money and all that stuff. And it's stirring this covetousness in the people. And it's so disheartening to men like Israel and Pradeep because they see this. And then you have it set up for the devil to bring someone in who's going to call themselves a prophet and just say, blessings to everyone. Well, what scripture shows, if there's no conviction there, they'll never stand because the storm will come. The test and trial will come. A test or trial doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It's going to happen in this life, and the enemy will try to destroy everything that you would have. And this is just part of life. Sometimes people think serving the Lord is everything's going to go smooth. There's no problems. That is not the truth. So he talks about the thorns as people pursue the cares of this world, which is status, riches and pleasures of this life. He makes it real simple here. Bring no fruit to perfection. And we have to be careful that the word of God doesn't get choked. Yes. Choked. Where it's not really producing. And if we begin to, see, here's the problem. When you have something around you or even in you long enough, you accept it as the new normal. Like it's normal not to have fruit. That we shouldn't accept that. We should look at the word of God and say, God, what your word shows, that's, I want to be the normal of my life. So what we've had for a long time, and I think it's getting worse, is people caught up pursuing money and pleasure, money and pleasure, money and pleasure. It takes money to have pleasure of this worldly pleasure. And then you just begin to determine that that's normal. But the reality is the word of God gets choked. No power in our life. So then when you have something come along like coronavirus or whatever, fear overtakes people. You know, they canceled all flights from China going on into India. None. And even come back to the U.S. and you're going through the passport control, they're asking, were you in China? Last few weeks? I said, no, sir. I thought, boy, I hope we don't get some big outbreak and we have to sit in a quarantine for 2 weeks. Thank you, Jesus. Didn't have to do that. Yes. I got things to do. But you see here, the word can get choked. The word can, you know, persecution, the devil tries from without and from within. And if our mind begins to consume upon the thing we think about, it's the pleasure, whatever's a pleasure to us, and getting money and spending money and status and being esteemed by people, everybody around us wanting to be everybody like us, I'll say it that way. That's the cares of this world. the word will get choked. But on the good ground with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So again, the aim or goal for us needs to be fruitfulness, which is a byproduct of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in our life. So for us, we can't, the only thing you can do is take care of your own soil, your own heart. Everybody has to take responsibility for their own soul. You can do a lot of things for other people, but you can't do what they need to do for their soul. You can't say enough prayers because God's not going to exert His will and override theirs. Will's part of the soul. If someone's willfully pursuing sin, then there's going to be a consequence. You can't stop that. That's their choice. And it's so sad and it hurts our heart when we see people that are just pursuing the wrong choices or pursuing the wrong thing. Now, I'd shared a message once or twice over there, and I've shared here, about the fact that, okay, the old covenant promises all blessing for the physical realm. And then in the new covenant, spiritual blessing. The old covenant didn't give any spiritual blessing because sin was still in the heart of man. But through the death of Jesus Christ, the price was paid for sin. Sin can be taken out, confessed out. The gift of righteousness given to us where the Holy Spirit can come in and indwell us now. And those are the two promises unique to the new covenant that aren't in the old covenant. And as a result of the Holy Spirit, we access everything of the kingdom of God. So the thing I went on to say to them, I said, getting those blessings is good, but spiritual blessings better. Good, better. Good, better. It's good to go into the restaurant and get that salad. It's better to get the steak. if you're a meat eater. It's not if you're a vegetarian. But there's good and there's better. It's a, you know, you could eat a soybean burger or you could eat steak, you know. There's good and there's better. It's good to have blessings in the natural. But see, people are getting deceived there, thinking they're just wanting to chase what they think God's going to give them in the natural rather than chase what comes in the spirit and let the others follow. Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and all these other things will be added. We seek him. We seek his righteousness. We seek his kingdom. And a byproduct of that is the physical realm will be blessed. So when I was trying to help them with, you know, preaching that message, that was just a little concise little version of the whole thing. This is good, but to really have the fruit of the Spirit of God, that's better. Because you can have all the money you want, and you can't buy peace. You're tormented. In fact, what was it? Isaiah said, there's no peace for the wicked. There's no joy, just in the flesh. Oh, you might be happy for a moment, but that'll pass away. So you have to keep chasing it, where the fruit the Holy Spirit produces can always be there, no matter what's going on around us. Well, what we need to do is focus on our own ground. Mind your own dirt. Keep our heart where the word can flourish in us. And that needs to be the focus. I'm mentioning the other things because these other things Satan is using to try to rob the people of God from the word that there's no fruit. Or very little fruit. So for us, we stay focused on the very word that he has spoken to us, and we watch over our own heart. Now, that being said, I want to go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Proverbs 4:20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. You know, stress probably has the bigger impact on our physical body than anything. And as we keep the word in our heart and maintain the peace of God and the love of God, because unforgiveness can open you up to a whole lot of stuff as well, we maintain that in our heart, we have health to our flesh. We have life in our spirit, man. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. We have to watch over our heart. What are we allowing in? What are we looking at? What are we listening to? And with all of the technology and stuff around us, images and words are bombarding us more than ever, I believe, in the planet's history. So we have to be very careful and take a responsibility that we keep our heart sensitive to the Word of God, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to compassion. At one point, Pradeep asked me about Ukraine, and we had just pulled up the church, and everybody else got out of the van because it's usually picking people up along the way. And I started crying because when I was there in 2014, right after the Maidan revolution thing and all that, and the Russians were coming in, and we had that couple day meeting, Dale and some others, and this pastor could speak English. I was fellowshipping with him a lot. I wanted to get a picture with him, and right before he came over, he got a call. The drug addict thing he was running, the Russians came in and captured it, took all, made them slaves. And he was broken. And yeah, I was hearing that. When I came back home, I think right before I left, I don't know what it was, transmission went out. We had to get another vehicle. We're riding out to Stettler's. I started to tell her this, and it's weeping. I pulled a car off the side of the road, Route 30. Sat and wept for an hour about Donna. And it wasn't like I saw anything. It was just compassion. And this first I began to even speak of it, all I could do was weep. And I'm not an emotional, generally speaking, emotional kind of person, personality. It's like an hour just weeping and just such compassion for these people and some of the other things that you know, heard, the suffering. And I felt like that with this Peter, the guy that's beaten, his house burned down and all that, just for preaching the gospel. I felt like that with him. We have to be really careful that our hearts never start to harden, that God can't put something upon us where there is, whatever you want to call it, the burden or compassion for where it's a people group, an individual, your next door neighbor, or somebody, where your heart is so humble before the Lord and there's a compassion there and it drives you to pray more. Because if we're not really oriented towards working for the Lord, prayer and witnessing and so forth, our heart's already getting hardened. We just don't know it. We can get so caught up in just the pleasures of this life that we're able to enjoy in this country, and we don't have to feel guilty about that. It's not anything about guilt. We thank God He's blessed us. But we have to watch our heart that we don't get so caught up that we never even really consider the suffering of humanity, whether it's the guy next door or where you work or on the other side of the world. That element has to still be there. And it really has to do with keeping your heart tender before the Lord. Hardness can begin to come. You don't even know it's happening. It was a few years back, just times of prayer. I just began to weep. It's like, Lord, what is this? And it was for families with autistic children. Now, that's local here. At that time, I didn't know anyone with an autistic child. Now I know 3 or 4 families. And it's horrible for them to watch their children suffer. And things can't be normal outside of a miracle from God. And I felt helpless. To begin, I didn't even know anyone. But it's like, I don't have any avenue. Who am I to even help somebody? Lord, what do I do with this? Well, it's for a time in the future. But that's never gone away. Now, I'm not trying to promote those things. I'm just using as an example. It talks about the hard soil. That we can start getting hard and we don't even know it's happening. I'm not saying we have to be crybabies or anything, but there are times the compassion of Jesus just humbles you. And however that manifests out in you, it just breaks you down. And we realize, God, I have a heart to help these people, but I can't do anything. So all we can do then, either you shut that off or you pray and pray and pray. Well, we have to keep our heart with all diligence. It's a diligence. It's not something you can be slack about or just about half pay attention to. We have to be very diligent to keep our hearts tender before the Lord. We are listening for his voice. That when today, when the Holy Ghost speaks, we hear what he's saying to us. That he can impart something into our inner man. That we can be a blessing reaching out to others. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. So we have to pay close attention. It's just an exhortation here. Don't get caught up in what this world's doing or has to offer or anything else. Keep your heart sensitive. You know, we don't chase after the world. We pursue Jesus. So, yeah, it's a lot of emotions with all these things for me because I feel very close to some of these people where we just were. And then there's a multitude I don't know. But we want to keep a sensitive spirit. I just felt to bring that out. Don't allow any hardness. Keep a close watch on your heart. Be diligent to keep the word in there because by the word comes faith. By the word of God stirring in you, the word of what Jesus did, how he forgave you, that stirs compassion in you for other people. And it needs to be part of what we do in life. Just like you get up, you take a shower, you wash. If you're a man, you shave. I guess a lady, you shave your legs. But, you know, we do these things. And the thing of watching over our heart has to be even more important to us than fixing our hair or anything like that. Because life's going to flow out of the heart. And if we have the life of God in us, you can't help but it flow out. If the word's in your heart, you can't help but it come out. It will come out of you. You will be a blessing. And you can be a blessing way more than what you would ever imagine. God's word is powerful. It's alive. It gives life. And there are people that don't have hope. Don't be afraid. See, if you're more concerned whether people like you or not, then you won't testify of Jesus for fear they might reject you. We need to take the risk. So what if they do reject you? So what? God loves you. He accepts you. He will never forsake you. Amen. Well, let's embrace the word, love the word. Watch our heart. Take good care of the soil. So there's no hindrance, no obstruction to the fruit the Spirit of God can bring in us and through us.